Thank you. Thanks a lot, Corey. How's everyone doing this afternoon? Good, good. All right, cool. I want to make this session as interactive and fun as possible. So if you have any questions, we can wait to the end, or I can answer them as we go along. So whatever you guys prefer, I encourage you to tweet as well. If you don't follow me, my handle is at CarlosGill83. Make sure you tweet, use the hashtag for the conference, and it'd be great to connect with you guys that way as well. So before I get started in terms of talking about analyzing the ROI of your social media, by a show of hands, how many of you work day-to-day with social media? Almost all of you, great. How many of you work on the brand side? Okay, and then agency, vendor? A few of you? Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, it's always helpful for me to know. So like Corey said, my name is Carlos Gill, and behind me you see my bio. I'm currently the global head of social media for BMC Software. How many of you have heard of BMC before? A couple? Wow, interesting. I actually hadn't heard of BMC before I went to go work there. BMC Software, for those of you that don't know, we're an enterprise software company, and we have a presence globally around the world, 6,000 employees. We offer IT solutions such as IT case management, HR case management, and so forth. So really big company. Prior to that, I worked at LinkedIn for a period of time, and I also have B2C experience. So I worked at Save-A-Lot, where I led digital marketing, as well as at Winn-Dixie over in Florida, where I started up Social Forum. So a good mix of B2C and B2B that I bring to you guys. Also, fun facts about me. I love hip-hop. I like emojis. And I'm a big evangelist for Snapchat. Do we have any Snapchatters in the room here? All right, cool, cool. For those of y'all that are on Snapchat, you can add me by scanning this code. You can also add me at TheCarlosGill. And if you're not on Snapchat, let me tell you something. We definitely need to talk about it later on tonight over drinks. So anyways, guys, it's good to meet all of you. So today, not only am I going to talk about analytics and the ROI of it, but I'm going to really help you guys out in terms of justifying the why. So why is social media something that's important for your organization? Why should you guys be selling this to your executives? Why should your executives even care? I'm also going to show you how to measure the effectiveness of things like content. I'm going to show you some examples of at BMC Software, how we're measuring the effectiveness of our content. And I'm also going to show you a case study of our employee advocacy program. So to be honest with you guys, I haven't been at BMC for more than 7 months. And you know, bringing some of the knowledge and learnings from the B2C world over to B2B has really helped us crush it on social at BMC. So one thing that's really important to go ahead and put into context, social media, the purpose that it serves, whether you're a B2B brand or a B2C brand, it's all the same. The goal is to sell more stuff. Can we all agree with that? At the end of the day, regardless of what sort of business you're in, if you're on social media, chances are is that you're looking to leverage these tools to go ahead and reach more people, to get your brand in front of them, and to sell them more product. Now, the issue that I've just seen over the last 24 months, especially with marketers, especially in the social media space, is that marketers wear one hat, and that's that of a marketer. They're not thinking like a consumer. And with the teams I've led at the various organizations, including where I'm at now at BMC, the teams I've led, I've always done this exercise, what I call the sniff test. And that's take a look at your content, as well as the content of your competitors, and look at it objectively as a customer. And think to yourself, would I buy from my brand? So look at the social content that your brand is putting out each and every single day, and think, is this content that I would buy? Would I click? Would I retweet? Would I engage? And do the same thing for your competitors. I have a CMO, just so you guys know, that he is constantly hammering analytics, constantly wanting for my team and I to report the effectiveness of our social media. So I go through this exercise with my team on a weekly basis, in which we look at our 5 primary competitors, and we see what are they posting on LinkedIn, what are they posting on Facebook, what are they posting on Twitter. And then we're comparing our content. We're looking at this, again, objectively, as a customer, not as a marketer, and we're just thinking, what stands out? What sells? The second part to the sniff test is look at content then from a marketing standpoint. So are you putting the right creative out there? Do you have the right offers that you're putting? Again, whether it's B2B or B2C, it's all one and the same. You're trying to get people to engage. You're trying to get them to click off of Twitter or off of social media and go back to your website more than likely. So is the content that you're putting out resonating with your customers? Is it good content? Does it look good? Think very easily, whether you have a design background or not, you can identify if content looks good. So again, thinking like a customer at the core of what we do as marketers is extremely important. So as I segue into the why, a major key to your success as marketers is, why are you on social media? I can tell you this, every company that I've worked at, including where I'm at today, at some point or time, I've spoken with a C-level executive in which I've had to stand in front of him or her and sell to them, what are we doing on social media and why it's important? Does that sound familiar to any of you in the room? And how's that conversation typically? It's kind of uneasy, because we all get that it's important, right? But getting them to see the value in it typically tends to be a challenge. So my advice right out of the jump is look at the organizations, look at your organizational chart at your company, look at the silos. So you got, for example, HR, you have sales, you have marketing, you have PR, you have communications. And start with building social strategies around them. Because I tell you, if you can win over organizational leadership at your company, not only are you going to get the buy-in from your C-level execs, but your job is going to be a piece of cake. I can tell you that from experience. Working with HR, for example, to develop social media strategies around helping them find talent through social, brand the company through social. These are things that are extremely important to HR. Again, it's taking social media as a function and making it a part of what these organizational functions at your company do. For things like sales, taking social media and showing that it can actually help sales professionals be more successful through things like social selling. With marketing, it can help amplify brand awareness. For PR, et cetera. So again, really important to note, guys, if you are struggling with selling to your executives the value of social, start with the organizations and then work your way up. Are you speaking to the right audience? This is something that's extremely important, okay? So many of us are putting content out there, but do we know who we're speaking to? And I get it. We're all eager to engage on all the major platforms. You know, heck, I'm a big Snapchat fan, so I'm trying to find a justification at BMC for us to even be on Snapchat. You know, and we're an enterprise software brand, so to make that connection, it's a challenge. So our audience might not necessarily be on that medium. So are you speaking to the right audience on these mediums? And third, do you have the right mix of content and conversation? So you hear about content all the time. You hear that content is king, and you know, as we go along here, I'm going to talk to you about my feelings on it, because I'm a big proponent of community. But what does the content that you're putting out there say about your brand and how others are perceiving it? Does your social presence, does the content you put out, is it aimed to drive sales? Is it aimed to drive satisfaction or guest experience? So I touched on this a little bit, and I feel that social media marketers, we're always in hustle mode. How many of y'all can relate with this? Yeah, some hands going up? Me too, we're always in hustle mode. We're always being asked, again, of the value of social media. So I say this, guys, because I've been in this game for 8 years now. Not only starting up my own company and selling to others, but working for four different unique brands across B2C and B2B, everything from retail grocery, working for LinkedIn, a social network, and now working for a software company. Okay, at the end of the day, the objective is always the same. We're looking to grow awareness and sell more stuff, but how you get there through your own organization is really a major key. So if you feel that you're always in hustle mode, you're always having to prove the value, really hone in on one and two here, which leads to three. Make other people look good, but do that by showing as a leader in your organization why social media is important. So this is the audience that I'm trying to speak to every single day. These guys, IT professionals. And I'm going to share a story with you guys. When I was going through the interview process at BMC, I was really nervous because I hadn't worked, you know, at this type of scale for B2B software company before, trying to speak to IT professionals. Jobs I had in the past were what I consider was a cakewalk. I was trying to help people buy groceries at a cheaper price. Nowadays, in my role, the function of my team and I is to educate this community, the IT community, on the latest trends in information technology, which is a very broad industry, I've come to find out. So it's not only educating them, but also convincing them to buy from our company, because like many of y'all out there can relate, consumers today have options. So again, I go back to what I said, whether you're a B2C or B2B company, at the end of the day, your end game is to go ahead and to get more people to buy from you, but identify who the audience is and then create content that's relevant for them. So what we do at BMC is we create everything from white papers to ebooks, you name it, blog posts, and everything is centered around driving as much value to this audience as possible. Because let's face it, everyone out there is getting hit up. Every consumer out there is getting hit up. And I say that, I say the word consumer, because we're all consumers. We all are using social media in one way or another, even if you don't work in it. You're on LinkedIn while you're at work, you're getting home, you're checking on Facebook, you're getting on Twitter. You have brands reaching out all over the place. And this is why I really emphasize the importance of community. So like I said before, everyone is a buyer. And the same people that you're hitting up, just by a show of hands real quick, how many of you work in consumer marketing? Okay, B2B? A few of you, okay, cool. So for those of you that work in B2B, you can relate to this. Your end game is to try to sell a product that typically costs a lot of money, and you're not gonna go ahead and win your audience over at the first swing. Whereas in B2C, it's typically a little bit easier, I think we can agree, to go ahead and win customers over. So your challenge is, how do I get my audience's attention, my target customer's attention, on the channels where they're using, which goes back to knowing your audience. And I say this here because you have to give a compelling reason for social media users to even listen and care. You have to give them a reason. You have to give them a carrot. So what carrot are you giving them? What hook are you guys giving your audience to compel them to go back to your website, to read a white paper, to download? I can tell you, I open up my email every single morning and I'm bombarded. Like the first 10 emails I see are from different vendors trying to sell me stuff. Typically, I ignore every single one of them except the one that has the most compelling hook, the most compelling subject line. There's a piece of blog content that drives me back to their website because there's something of value as a social media marketing professional that I get out of it that then leads into the sales pitch afterward. So if you see where I'm going with this, everything that you do as a marketer should be to offer as much value to your audience as possible without even selling them, without even right hooking them at this point. The sale ultimately is gonna come once they've seen your brand several times and they figure, wow, this is a company I should really engage with. I shouldn't delete their emails anymore. I should go see what they're posting on Twitter every day because it's actually relevant, it's actually valuable. At the bottom, I said there, marketers are constantly rushing to grow. Always looking to grow. It's always about growing our Facebook page, even though no one's seeing your content on Facebook. It's always investing money in to get more people to see your tweets and to retweet and to create this engagement. And I want to stop there and say, a lot of this, guys, I'm going to just speak very honest with you, be transparent. A lot of this has to do because of the pressure that we face from our executives always wanting to see these inflated results called impressions. So my standpoint is instead of focusing on grow, just metrics that mean really absolutely nothing if these people aren't converting, it's all about nurturing. Who's having conversations with their teams on a daily basis about nurturing their community? I know I'm doing that at BMC every single day. It's about nurturing. Because the hard part, let's face it, has already been done for most of us, which is actually growing a community, You know, social media is something that's not new. If I was standing here maybe a few years ago, I would talk to you about the importance of growing your Facebook audience, growing your LinkedIn company page, growing your Twitter. But that ship's already sailed. Most of us have done that already. So nurturing is really the name of the game. And if you're not nurturing your existing community, then you're just creating noise. So I'm going to talk to you guys about BMC for a second. When I arrived at BMC in July of last year, like I said, I didn't know much about the organization other than me studying about them as I was going through the interview process. And what really stood out to me was that my predecessor before me had done a really amazing job at building this community of IT professionals. So while engagement wasn't something to really brag about, my goal became, how do I take these 200,000 IT professionals that follow BMC across LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, what have you, how do I take these 200,000 professionals and actually activate them? And what I mean by activate them is actually get them to take action, get them to share our content, get them to go to our blog. Again, strategy is not grow, 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 because the growth has already been done. The strategy is to nurture and actually make these 200,000 IT professionals feel like they're valued. So what we did was we launched an employee advocacy strategy. How many of y'all have an employee advocacy strategy? Where are you at? A few of you? Okay. So again, mind you, brand new to a company, I'm wanting to, right out of the gate, create excitement, create a buzz, justify my new job, and really impress our executive team. So what I saw was the easiest carrot was to take our 6,000 employees and to give them the resources to share content about our brand. And we work, not sure if you guys know who they are, we work with Sprinklr, and we use them for listening and publishing, but also they have an employee advocacy suite that wasn't being tapped into that we were paying for. So immediately, my focus, 30 days on the job, became how do I create a social content hub, which you see on the left-hand side of the screen. It's called Be Social. How do I create this social content hub where all of our content that we're putting out on social media, the good content, lives? How do we get our employees to then go in and connect their existing social channels on this platform? And again, I realize at our company, the majority of our employees are at least and minimum on LinkedIn because of the nature of our business. So the odds were, you know, really in our favor. Most of your companies, I can assure you, your employees at least on minimum are probably on Facebook. Then it became, what type of content do we put, which is in the middle section? So we create categories for all of our business units. BMC's business model is very similar to that of a CPG brand, where we have various business units. Each one of those business units have products within them. So each one of those business unit presidents, for them, the value of social is how can we drive more sales and awareness and attention for their products, for their BU. So in this Be Social Hub, we created categories in which there's specific social content for them. And then we made it really easy for our employees to find content. So for anyone out there that is either in the process of starting up an employee advocacy strategy, or if you're thinking about it, I'll tell you what, guys, you have to make it extremely easy, which is why the technology that you invest in really matters. But you have to make it extremely easy for an employee to be able to go to your website, sign up within a few seconds, and be able to get in and share content. If they have to click around too much, you've lost them. So at the right-hand side, the fifth column is sharing. With our technology, we were able to make it easy for employees to go ahead and share content out with just one click. They could schedule it. I'm a big Buffer and Hootsuite fan, so it has that similar type of feel where you can go and you can schedule content. You can log in on a Monday morning and schedule content for the rest of the week. And then this content gets posted from our employees to their Twitter accounts, to their LinkedIns, to their Facebook. So again, 30 days in the job, what I saw was 800 plus employees signed up. I have 6,000 globally, which isn't bad. It's almost a sixth of our employee base. Those 800 employees shared over 30,000 times, which was phenomenal.
over 30,000 shares, which generated almost 13 million impressions and 3,000 website clicks. So for any of you out there that are sitting there, if there's one thing that you walk away from here today, from this session at least, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, wow, I'm struggling with organic engagement, I'm constantly having to pay, we have employees that they're already talking about us on Twitter, they're already talking about us on Facebook, make it easy for them. Create content that's cool, that's exciting, that's relevant for them. Again, it goes back to justifying that why. And then invest in a platform like this where you can just upload content, your social team can upload content, and now all they have to do is just log in and share. And if you do that, you'll see all of a sudden now your organic engagements will go up, your website clicks will go up, and life is good. And your executives more than anything are gonna be happy because now you're showing some progression without having to necessarily invest a lot of money in social. So I'm gonna go through this a little quickly. You know, at BMC, the content that we're posting, like I said before, it's all about adding value to our audience. So I realize that these are IT professionals. Not everyone's a buyer out there, you know, and what I mean by that is not everyone has purchasing authority. So to keep it realistic, we have to post content that creates awareness for our brand, like you see at the top right, that actually leads to a blog post on our website. We also post a lot of videos. I'm a big fan, guys, of micro moments. I think micro moments is really the future of social. We're seeing it already happen with Snapchat, with people consuming content 10 seconds at a time. So what I mean by micro moments is we're taking videos that otherwise would have gone on YouTube, and instead of sending users to YouTube to watch a video, we're just uploading a 10-second or 30-second video like you see on the bottom right directly on Twitter. So content marketing. You hear about content marketing all the time. Content is king. You've heard of that, right? Yes? No? Yeah? Here's my take on content marketing. Content marketing is like a dinner party. And I use this analogy because I think of it as content is the main course. If you have a table and you have guests sitting around it, you are the host of that party. Your brand is the host. And the content that you're feeding your guests, okay, is what you're putting in front of them on social media. It's the main course. Now, you can have the best content out there, but if no one's actually viewing that content, you have leftovers. And I say this often because so many people forget about the community. They put the emphasis on the content. We're gonna invest, we're gonna create all this, you know, good-looking creative, good-looking videos, we're gonna have a contest, but they're not nurturing, which I said before. They're not talking to their community, so oftentimes that content is overlooked and no one sees it. And let's face it, as users of social media ourselves, when was the last time you went to a brand that you follow and scrolled down to see what they posted 5 days ago on Facebook or on Twitter? Heck, I don't even see what they posted yesterday. It's always about what's happening in the moment. So really important that you guys think of content and community in the context like I presented here. So let's talk about measuring KPIs for a moment. How we measure KPIs at BMC is probably very similar to how you guys measure KPIs at your companies. So for one, there's the impressions. Now, I'll be the first to say, when I sit in front of my CMO once a quarter and do a QBR, the least thing on his mind is impressions, because impressions really, at the end of the day, what do they tell us? People saw our content, but what do we know about them? Oftentimes, not much. It's just a good-looking number. But let's face it, if you're putting content out there and it's being seen, then that's net new impressions that otherwise you might have had to spend a little bit more money to go ahead and drive. We also look at website clicks. And like most brands, we invest heavily in display ads, search, trying to get people to go back to our website. Because let's face it, our website is our storefront. Like most brands, our website is our storefront. It's where you can go, it's where you can get information about our products, it's where if you want to get a demo, you can sign up, you can get more information from sales. So for us, major key is to drive users back to our website. So that's actually a metric that we look at very closely. Third is blog views. And for us, this is important because we're not just trying to get people to sign up for trials and demos. We actually want to be able to sell BMC as a brand in the IT community where IT professionals want to come back and see content on an ongoing basis. You know, I want us to be almost like the ESPN of IT, where people actually want to keep coming back. They want to know what's happening in their field, in their industry. And then guys, form fills, so lead generation. Again, it's a money game. Our end game is to try to drive as many leads to hopefully convert them into sales. And more than likely, a lot of you out there probably have the same type of KPIs out there. But what we do on a weekly basis, my team and I, is we go through all the content that we're putting out. We do this exercise every single week. We're looking at the content that we're putting out, and we're analyzing closely the metrics. What content's getting us the most impressions? What content is getting shared the most? What content is leading the most clicks on our website? What's being viewed, and what's converting? And content that's not converting, content that's underperforming, goes away. We don't post it anymore. Content that is over-indexing in terms of performance, we ensure that that goes onto our content calendar, and we're recycling it. We're putting it out there. Who knows who this is? One person? Two people? No DJ Khaled? Come on, guys. This is DJ Khaled. So DJ Khaled is really popular on Snapchat, and he has his major keys to success. So in the context of speaking to a social media marketing audience, a major key to success is to measure your week over week, month over month, quarter over quarter, and year over year growth. And if you aren't growing, you aren't giving your community what they want. It's really that simple. So if you're putting out content and you're looking at the analytics, and let me tell you something, guys, you don't necessarily need to invest into a platform for analytics if budget's tight, or if you're a more nimble social media team. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn all has analytics already baked in. So if you're seeing content is underperforming, don't post it. The content, like I said before, that's overperforming, keep posting that more and more. And refer to this. It's all about your community. So if you're putting content that they want to see, keep creating more of it. Now I'm going to close on this note, guys. It's a great philosopher by the name of Jay-Z that said, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. I typically close every single one of my presentations with this quote right here, because at the end of the day, executives, they want to see results. And it goes back to the numbers. So the content that you're putting out, is it performing, is it not? And most importantly, is it driving the numbers that your executive leadership team is looking to see? So that concludes my presentation, and I will open it up for questions.
Okay, let's get into the Snapchat.
Let's do it.
Yeah. How can we do it? I look at mine and I don't see like a link on there. There's just like maybe, 20 businesses right now that I see, CNN, whoever. How can we break in as a business into Snap? Because my personal one right now, I totally cheeseball out, so I don't want my broader audience to see it at all. So, you know, how do we, you know what I'm saying?
I know
this
exactly
is my private time, my private place.
Look, I'll be the first to say, I joined Snapchat in 2013, and I did it almost as an experiment. I have a sister-in-law she was in high school at the time, and she was telling me that Facebook is for old people. And I took offense to that. I said, well, where are you engaging if Facebook's for old people? And she said, I'm on Snapchat. And let's face it, Snapchat at one point had a bad reputation, so I was hesitant to even join. And I got on and said, you know what, this isn't so bad. Some marketers that I know are on here. And it became very quickly where I went to escape from brands. So I personally don't follow any brands on Snapchat because I'm not advertised to. It's where I actually go to have conversations, and I don't find it intrusive. A brand can't advertise to me on there. But I'll say this, from a brand marketing standpoint, there's a lot of potential in there in humanizing your brand. And what I mean by that is not selling to people, because let's face it, people don't want to be sold to, they want to be engaged. So you can use Snapchat to show people what does life look like at your company. From an HR standpoint, it's actually great. For any HR professional who's looking to humanize their brand to try to get people to work there, from an employer branding standpoint, great platform to do just that. But if you're looking to use it from, let's say, like a sales prospecting or marketing standpoint, again, it goes back to humanizing your brand. So who are you? You know, who's your CEO? Who's your CMO? Perhaps maybe you do some interviews on Snapchat with them, but then you can cross-promote on Facebook or on Twitter to get people to add you. When I say people, I'm talking about the ones that follow you already on your other networks. You can get them to follow you or add you on Snapchat, and then you just create more of human content. But if you just go out of the gate and just try to use it to sell, it's probably not going to work. Does that help answer your question? So I personally am a big proponent of Snap, and I believe as a marketer it's important. Again, when you go back, I talked about justifying the why. If you're going to show your organization how something is being done, what better case study than you yourself as a person that's running social for a company? So we've been working internally on me showing folks, here's how I use it. Here's the success that I see as an individual, and I don't have nearly, you know, a fourth of the reach that we do as a brand. So right now, it's very much just kind of using myself as the case study, but we don't have a presence yet.
So to the point that you just made, Carlos, about not having a fourth of the reach that the brand does, you mentioned that an employee activation campaign was hugely successful, and I agree. I mean, employee activation is something that everyone should try and do, but do you have any recommendations for something at scale for, say, a one-person operation in a marketing department or a 20-person company, something a little smaller than 6,000?
Yeah, you know, if you don't invest in the technology, there's ways that you can do employee advocacy by manually sending out content. You know, when I first came on to BMC, what they were doing, and I should probably include this on there, the different business units were sending out an email every Friday. It was pretty much a roundup of, here are different blog posts that we have for our business unit, here are different LinkedIn posts that have gone out, here are different tweets that different people within the organization have put out. So that's how it was being done previously. It was all email-based, and anyone can do that. So you don't need to have a lot of people on your social team. It's just more or less connecting with the stakeholders in your company and letting them know that we really want to help get the word out on social, and we need support from the enterprise, and just have to make it easy at the end of the day.
That's great. Any other questions for Carlos?
Yes.
How are you utilizing your customer community on social? And I guess if you have like an online forum type community, how are you utilizing them?
Good question. Very good question. So we have two things. One, we have communities. We have BMC communities where we have a lot of our users on there. And when I talk about user, I'm talking about developers for the most part all over the world. And that's operated very much like message boards. We actually have a team that manages that. And then we also use a product called Influitive, which some of you may or may not be familiar with. It's almost like a customer advocacy tool where our customers are actually incentivized to share content. There's different challenges and so forth. So there's a gamification component to it. Yeah, and BMC is actually, the person that heads that up for BMC, she's actually won some awards over the last couple of years for having a rock star customer advocacy program.
One more.
So how is your social media team split up? Like, how do you guys divide kind of your project work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have someone that heads up content. So the person that heads up content is not only creating content for our various social channels, but also creating content for our blog. So she primarily works with all the business units. On every single week, she spearheads meetings to be able to know what are they working on in terms of different projects, different product launches, different blog content that they'd like to feature. So she spearheads that. We have a person that's over analytics. So very much deep into the numbers, constantly reporting numbers back. And then we have a person that's overpaid as well and schedules all of our social posts.
So do you guys collaborate,
this
is our goal for the month, here's how
we're
gonna execute it, and then feedback?
Yeah, so our goals are, our scorecard is all on demand generation. So what are we doing to move the needle for the business? And that's where I work very closely with my team on ensuring that the content that we're putting out is just top-tier content. It's what people want to see. I work very, very closely with the various business units and our key stakeholders. So I do a lot of driving the strategy, but you know, quarterbacking internally, but also working very closely with partners.
One more.
I don't want to take up all the questions if somebody else has them. Okay, so I'm just going to do a twofold
sure.
question. When you said that you were reposting content that you found that was working, I'd like just a little bit more information on that, because I wonder if we could do repost something that we'd already posed that was popular. I mean, I'll do that. Like, I'll boost things that, you know, videos from the past that were really successful just to a broader audience maybe that I didn't feel like we reached the first time. But actually sharing it back onto the page for everyone to see, wondering about that. That's in regards to Facebook. And then also, do you have any predictions for up-and-coming social media platforms that you feel like we should be aware of, because I really want to get in, like, you know, I'm like you. I want to know what the kids are doing. Yeah. That's my future.
Yeah,
the children.
Absolutely. Well, to answer that question, yes. Yeah, you know, Snapchat is the fastest growing social network. Right now, their trajectory is they've outgrown where Facebook was 4 years into Facebook's existence. And let's face it, it's becoming challenging to reach audiences on Facebook, on Twitter. Twitter, I believe, is making algorithm changes that were going to be announced today. So the name of the game is really changing. I think the emphasis going forward is going to be more on one-to-one relationships. If I had to make a prediction, it's all going to be one-to-one. I just see, you know, with our communities, for example, I talked about before, we have a community manager that everyone knows him on social. And he's not someone that has necessarily a high social media presence, but everyone in terms of our developer and customer base follows him because he's actually having conversations with him. The dialogue from him is not coming from a logo, it's actually coming from a human being. So I think that's where, again, Snapchat is kind of changing the game, because the way that a lot of brands are starting to use it is they're hiring influencers to go onto their accounts and put a face and a voice behind a brand. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that approach, because I think as marketers, we're all talented enough that we should be doing this ourselves, not necessarily outsourcing an influencer to do it. We're all influential within our own companies. Why pay someone to do something that we can do ourselves? But again, that's just me. Sorry. You got things like Periscope. Any one of y'all are using it? Yeah, a couple of y'all. So Periscope with live streaming, it's really popular also. Because again, it gives users out there some behind the scenes insight as to who your brand really is. The first question around reusing content. So when I came on to BMC in July, I looked at about 7 months worth of data from January 1st of 2015. And I really looked at what posts from our blogs were performing really well on social media. And I was really surprised to see posts that performed really well in like January and February, we hadn't posted again. Or there was content in them that had maybe, if it was in February, a Valentine's Day theme associated with it, that we were able to now take it, chop it up, remove the Valentine's Day theme, and reuse it, if that makes sense. So again, it's you don't have to have a library with thousands of pieces of content in terms of blog posts or images, but take what really performs well for you and see how you can reuse it. One thing that we're doing a lot now is we're looking to create more slide shares. SlideShare, which is owned by LinkedIn, is utilized by a lot of business professionals. Why? Because we put out content that helps them do their job better. So if we can take a blog post that's, let's say, a two-pager and condense that down into a six-slide share that basically has the high-level bullet points, now this is something that someone can actually see on Twitter because you can embed it. They can flip through it on their mobile device, and they don't have to read a long blog post. And the great thing about SlideShare is you can also drive lead generation that way as well. Good question.
I think we've got time for one more. No, well, thank you very much, Carlos.
All right, guys. Thank you.